All right, going to shift gears here. I believe Senator Risch may be joining us. Senator, is that you?
It is.
How are you this morning, Senator?
Well, I'm very good. And yourself?
Oh, well, hanging in there. We're struggling through a little bit of smoke here out west, but, you know, we're all
right. I know. Yeah. They were, you know, the worst area I've ever seen in my life was in Beijing. They told me yesterday Boise was worse than Beijing. So.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Bad.
It is. And I want to talk to you about that. Let's get to North Korea and the budget a little bit later. But while we're talking about this smoke, I'm starting to see this debate sort of heat up a little bit again on social media and in the news about forest management and how there are radical environmental groups that tie up logging projects in our forest land. Maybe talk about this whole issue of forest management and things that we can do to avoid the kinds of fire seasons that we are having this year, at least.
Well, obviously, the smoke is caused from burning fuel or wood in the forest, and if you remove the fuel, you don't have the fires. Well, obviously, you can't remove it all,
yep.
But if you do remove a reasonable amount, you can control the fires. There'll be less fires. There'll be smaller fires, and we fight that battle all the time. I mean, we constantly the Forest Service tries to put sails up, and of course, they're challenged by the left all the time. We're getting better at that. Administration that we have right now, they're getting much more aggressive as far as actually contesting those. So we're doing better. Obviously, it's not the best, but no matter what, we're always going to have fires. In the West, we've always had fires. We've got a long, long history of them. And what you got to do is have it at a level that you can live with.
Well, and grazing also is an important issue, too, which, that's an issue you've worked on quite a bit as well, is if you allow more grazing on our wild lands, that reduces that fuel load as well.
Yeah, there's no question about it. That's an annual sort of thing that you have to review every year. Some years are dry, some years are wet. I mean, there isn't predictability in this, and of course, no matter what goes wrong, they blame it on climate change. So you can't win the argument. If it's too wet, it's climate change. If it's too dry, it's climate change. Well, you can't win an argument like that. But no matter what happens, it's a result of climate change. But in any event, that's done on an annual basis. BLM is in some districts they're good at it. Some not so much. But they do try to deal with it on a year by year basis. The sage grouse, which would be a whole lengthy program, is an interesting offshoot of that. In that the enviros of all that use the sage grouse, wanting to do with public land grazing what they did to cutting over on the coast with the spotted owl, but it's turned around and bitten them in the back because it's become. It's become patently obvious that the number one enemy of sage grouse is fire, because it reduces the big stands of mature sagebrush that the sage grouse need. And I'm not talking about the ones that are 6, 8, 10, even 18 inches high. This is older sagebrush that's been growing for quite some time.
We're talking with Senator Jim Risch. Senator, let's cut to a story that was kind of a surprising development just within the last 24 hours or so. President Trump cuts a deal with Democrats on the budget. Did that catch you by surprise?
Well, the media is saying he cut it with the Democrats. That's, you know, in court they make you tell the truth, the whole truth. That deal was cut not just with Democrats, it was cut with Democrats and Republicans. And the Republican leadership was sitting there, and they argued it out and determined this would be the best way to go. So if he cuts a deal with Democrats, it's a big news item. People get worked up, et cetera, et cetera. But this was an accommodation that everybody agreed to. It wasn't just between Trump and the Democrats. So and frankly, it's a different route that I would have gone. I think that, you know, it goes to December 15th. Well, you know, the first thing I thought of when I got a family, so the first thing I thought of was, oh, there goes Christmas, because these, nothing happens till you get to the very end, and sometimes not then. So I'd rather seen it go till after the first of the year, and probably sometime later in the spring. But it, look, it is what it is. It resolved the issue that could have caused a government shutdown and lots of other things. So, and it gets the aid to the hurricane that that needs to be done, and that's much more reasonable than when we were dealing with Sandy, where they they threw $57 billion at it. So I still don't know if I'm going to vote for the thing at the end of the day. I've got more studying I've got to do. In fact, I'm headed right now to go through the text.
All right, Senator, let's talk about, I mean, there's so many big stories, and I think maybe North Korea is being undercovered in the media to some degree, but biggest, what appears to be nuclear test that they've done so far, it happened last Saturday evening, and it appears that they're also about to test an ICBM. I know you sit on the relevant committees with that. You can't tell us everything, but tell us what you can.
Well, this is a first of all, it's a difficult situation, but more importantly than that, it is probably, while I've been serving here, it's the most dangerous situation there is. This is one of those that could get out of hand really easily and incredibly quickly. And, you know, North Korea is all about military. I mean, they starve their people. They use every penny they can get their hands on to build the nuclear weapons and conventional weapons. And it's hard to understand, because we don't think the same way we do. You know, we're looking for national security, where we can do the family things that we do and pursue our jobs, et cetera, et cetera. They're not interested in that at all. The regime there is interested in stopping regime change at all costs, and if it doesn't work, they take the whole country with them. And the other thing that is really difficult to understand is where they think they're going with this. I mean, they got the entire world against them on this. I mean, we've got China and Russia and us voting together in the National Security Council to sanction them and condemn them and everything else. That never happens. And so you wonder what they think is the end game. I mean, anybody with any kind of sense at all, when you undertake a project or what have you, always looks to the end game. What is the end game? You can't say what the end game is here. I mean, you know, even when you're dealing with the radical Islamics in the Mideast, you know what their end game wants to be. They want us out of they want all Christian movement out of the Middle East. Well, the North Koreans there's nothing like that, you know. So yeah, it's just animosity and provocation, one right after the other, and that's where we are.
You know, I want to get to DACA in just a moment, but one more North Korea question here. I need you to sort something out for me, because I don't fully understand it. I know that that the U.S., and probably in cooperation with South Korea, is looking to bolster our missile defense capability in that area. But you've got China crying foul on that. And I'm thinking, here's this rogue state launching missile test after missile test. They have some level of nuclear capability. And so we're boosting our missile defense. Why would China have a problem with that? It's a purely defensive system.
Yeah. Well, you know, we get the exact same thing with Russia whenever we do missile defense things, because this is backwards thinking, but the fact of the matter is China, Russia, and the United States all rely on the fact that nobody will pull the trigger, because when you do, you're committing suicide.
Yes. Are you there, Senator?
Pardon?
Oh, sorry. Are you there?
I'm here.
Okay.
Am I breaking up?
Oh, no. Yeah, you cut out for just a second. Go ahead.
Okay. Anyway, each of those countries know that by pulling the trigger, their country will be gone within moments. And so, I mean, there is no chance, and there and also between Russia, China, and the U.S., there's all kinds of safeguards to see that an accident doesn't happen. So obviously, anytime you start using defensive missiles, you cut into the strategy of assured self-destruction, and so that's what that's all about. And it's hard to think through, but you know, it's the unsaid thing is, okay, we all have these offensive capabilities. Everybody agrees not to defend themselves, and that's how the security works. And now, North Korea is not part of that, obviously, but
right.
We have to defend ourselves. We have to defend ourselves.
Yeah. Oh, I think you've cut out again. Can you hear me okay, Senator?
I'm on the street going from meeting to meeting, and the buildings here are very tall.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. So, no, you just faded out for a couple
of seconds. I've got a good spot.
Okay, great. One last question. Let's move to the president's action on DACA. Attorney General Sessions announced the other day in 6 months that program is going to end, the deferred action on childhood arrivals, creating a big controversy, which I don't fully understand, other than the media and the left is programmed to be outraged over everything this president does. But what he's really doing is saying, let's make it permanent. Let's do this through Congress so we have an actual legal framework for this particular population. So maybe you can shed some more light on this.
Well, you know, first of all, my thinking is moved substantially by the fact that I'm part of the first branch of government, and you have these people saying, "Well, Congress didn't do his job." Well, yes, Congress did. We have a law. You cannot come into this country illegally. You cannot remain in this country illegally, and that is the law in America. Well, I say, well, you need to review that. Well, it's been reviewed over and over again. There's been DACA bills introduced again and again, and they haven't passed. So the law is the law. So that's where we are. And so when they say, well, Congress needs to do its job, it's done its job, and it's done its job over and over again. So now the question becomes, what do you do about this if you actually want to make some changes? Well, I'm all in if you want to make some changes, but you can't just say, okay, well, we're going to pass a DACA law that legalizes all these people. That doesn't resolve anything. The next day, there will be little children, babies, teenagers brought here illegally. What do you do about them? Because I guarantee you what they're talking about is not to resolve it in the future, but just for the 11 million that are here today. You've got to start with border security. You know, if you do border security, if you do an E-Verify program that is coupled with a workable guest worker program that helps our industries that need guest workers to come in and help, like in the dairy industry, if you do those things, then we start talking about what you do about the ones that are here illegally. But you don't start with that and then go to the other stuff, because the other stuff will never get done. So anyway, and on top of that, you know, you do have to acknowledge that there is a humanitarian thing here. These kids, a lot of them came here and been here for decades, and they've never known any other country other than the United States. They're good citizens. They take care of things here. They take care of themselves, which is a good thing. And so you got that humanitarian aspect of it, but you can't let that override everything else. And the system needs work. There is no question about it. But you can't just take this one thing and say, well, we're going to fix this and do it for the people that are here illegally and say, there, it's fixed. No, it's not.
All right, U.S. Senator Jim Risch joining us this morning from the nation's capital. Senator, thank you so much. You're very generous with your time. We appreciate it.
Neil, always good to talk to you.
All right, 8:24 on this Thursday. We're going to break and come back on KIT. A lot of great questions. I was able to slip in a couple of them. Just didn't have time to get to all of them today. But we'll be back. We'll take your phone calls when we return on KID.